everyone, and welcome to Inside the Disney Vault, the only podcast to go over every single Disney animated movie in chronological order, every Pixar movie in chronological order, and now every Disney Channel original movie in chronological order. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
And oh my goodness, look who we have inside the vault. It is actor, comedian, writer, and co-host of the podcast Stinkers. It's Maggie Widows.
Yes. Hi, you guys.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What in the 2011 is this?
I can't even imagine. It's 2011. I just turned 21 and I am living.
I mean, truly a time capsule if I ever see one. Where, what are we, like, what are we looking at right now inside the vault? What's happening here?
I see a polka dot scarf that totally changes this outfit.
Interestingly enough, I see a yellow scarf that totally washes me out.
I see a mom who should tread lightly about her choices. You know,
just in general.
Yeah. Tread lightly about your choices in the kitchen and you know. Mm-hmm. Your wardrobe choice as well in the kitchen too.
Do I say what I see?
Yeah. What do you see?
Yeah, what
do
you see?
Well, basically, I see that we're at Hollywood Film Camp.
in Los Angeles?
In Hollywood Film Camp. Yeah, where else would we be? It's in Los Angeles. It's at the Hollywood sign. Yep.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, clearly, we are talking about Geek Charming. Wow. Had you all seen Geek Charming before?
Never.
Yeah, I've seen the first part of this movie a bunch of times, but I always tune out.
At least twice.
I've tried watching all the Disney Channel original movies before, and it just I didn't get through a lot of them. Like, I'll start them and then so.
And this was one of those.
Yeah, I can't help you for most of this. No. I did finally watch the whole thing. I sat down and watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so pretty much it's a new experience for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the most part, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Very much new experience.
But, you know, I got to say, there are some cast members that I recognize in this movie. I mean, the star is, what's her name?
Sarah Hyland.
From Modern Family. Yeah. And then, okay. Well, I mean, we'll get into it when
Sasha,
Quinn does the housekeeping.
I think her name is Sasha.
Yeah, from Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars.
Who's that? Who?
She's the blonde girl, the cool chick.
Amy.
Rocker. Yeah.
Oh, I have thoughts on her.
So, well, before we dive in, Maggie, what is your connection to Disney or Disney parks or DCOMs or whatever?
Okay.
Whatever you got.
Yeah, that bigger picture is good. So I grew up in LA, so I actually don't recognize Disney World as legitimate.
Wow.
I believe in small community, and I love the intimacy of Disneyland. It was really the happiest place on earth. They weren't kidding. Just like as a kid, obsessed with the park. I also will say I haven't been to Florida to that one. So,
I will say that people are nicer in Florida.
Ooh.
Lately. Nicer.
Oh.
Well, also the best churros exist at Disneyland.
That's true.
Agreed. Agreed. Agree.
And so that's a big draw for me. and then I was big into like the early on original channel movies, like The Irish, the basketball, what was the basketball one with the twins?
Double teamed.
Mm-hmm. Double teamed. Sort of an interesting title, I'd say. Just interesting in that way.
What do you mean?
It's sort of funny to like have
because there are two of them and
right.
There's no double entendre there.
Yeah,
at
there's
all.
Nothing
no, no, no.
there. And twins no, aren't classically something used in adult films. But Yeah, I loved all those early ones. And then
sounds like you were into the basketball one specifically.
Yeah, yeah, I was really into that basketball one.
Have you
one.
Seen High School Musical?
I've seen the first one and probably seen the second one. But that's probably around when I dipped out.
Mm.
Okay.
And I
sort of was like, actually, Garden State is the only movie.
Ah! Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You would be like in that film group.
The film club people. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was like all of these men have ruined my life. later. yeah. But I love, like, I would still watch them, you know, if I was with friends or something. It just wasn't like I feel like it used to be appointment viewing. Like the new ones would come out on a Friday and I would watch them whether I was with people or not. And I think Disney movies kind of became like, oh, if there's a group of friends watching them, we'll watch it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what? It's good to have you back, Maggie.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I feel like I'm getting back to my roots here.
What a way to get back in it with Geek Charming.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So let's do some smart housekeeping about Geek Charming. Mm. So based on a book called Geek Charming by Robin Palmer, we should read it.
It felt like it was a book.
Yeah.
There's so many of these DCOMs that are based off of books.
It was beautiful. The prose. It's just the descriptive language. You could tell.
This was a time when the whole like enemies to lovers thing was really big in YA novels.
Mm.
I think also the way they did the narration felt a little bit like a book, but it also felt like they were trying to make a nod to Modern Family.
It felt like that magic movie.
Absolutely. Now you see it. Yeah.
Now you see it. Where it was like they had little cut to documentary.
Yeah,
because What's Her Face was making a documentary the whole time.
Yeah, that reality TV show. Yeah. Which
that
honestly
really works
same thing.
For me. Yeah. But anyway, I digress for now. Original release date was November 11th, 2011.
My cat's birthday! Wow. Oh my god, that's the day that he was born! Wow.
Wait, the same year?
November 11th, 2011.
Well,
what?
I guess,
11-11-11?
Wow. Yeah, I should change her name to Geek Charming, shouldn't I?
Wow.
Yeah.
Lady was born just in time to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just start calling her Geek Charming. See how she reacts.
Geek Charming.
So, our cast is Sarah Hyland as Dylan, Matt Prokop as Josh Rosen, Sasha
Wait, Pursa. Why boo? Wait,
fuck
why boo?
You. Okay, so they dated in real life, and he was abusive. And,
what?
Don't Google.
Yeah, don't Google. He was very,
wait, is this
very
common knowledge?
It was no, it wasn't public until I Googled.
Yeah. He was very abusive, and she had to get a restraining order against him.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, but now she is happily engaged to Wells from Bachelor Nation, and they are the cutest couple ever, and he is trash. But he was also in High School Musical 3. That's just a little funny.
Oh, my gosh.
He hasn't booked since the...
Great.
Right, which is great. Like we love to see it.
Yeah, I love to see that.
Yeah, justice.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He was also trash in this movie.
Ooh.
He was bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's like weird. Like, I'm cool. My mouth is at the side of my face.
It felt very 90s. It felt very 90s, his performance. And it was like, we are in a post 9/11 world.
You know what it reminded me of? Yeah. It reminded me of that Elf performance in The Santa Claus.
Oh
cool my God. Yeah.
We're elves.
Yes.
Bury that. Who? Which
we're the
we
good
just
guys.
Inside the Disney Vault just had a like Patreon watch of the Santa Claus, and that was my biggest takeaway. Was that Elf?
I love
don't
that.
Ever try this without Elf.
It's so funny. But that was the guy in Geek Charming.
Yeah,
same guy.
Then we have Sasha Petersa as Amy, Jordan Jedediah Nichols as Asher. And then there are a bunch of characters who, honestly, I don't remember what their names were, but I know we had the film kids and then her friends. And
yeah,
so
some of these kids look familiar, but I think maybe they're just like a part of Disney Channel shows.
Well,
or something.
I don't, Rachel, I don't know if you know this, but the redhead guy.
I recognized him.
Yeah.
Does improv in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Like,
he
fully
looks
is just like out on these streets, well, yes anding.
So he's out on the streets just yes anding?
Yeah.
He should on get the tied. We're so variant, Gordon.
Yeah, we can't be yes-anding Omicron.
Sir.
I'm going to edit. I'm going to edit on Omicron is
what I'm going
to do. Oh, no. Surprise, it's an improv podcast, yeah.
I'll say that one takeaway I had about, what was his name in it? The Josh character. I wrote down, I was like, this man grows up to be an improv teacher and only date women 10 years his junior. Like, this is, there is no other reality than this man becoming an improviser.
You know, I gotta say, I have seen him, you know, audition for teams and stuff like that. And to me, it's shocking that he looks exactly the same.
Oh, the redhead. Yes.
The redhead. Guy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I meant the lead guy, but I'm with you on the
redhead. Oh, yes. Yeah. No. Okay. Oh, so that's Josh. Okay. I don't know anybody's name in this movie.
Okay. So the one of her friends, the popular girl's friends, she looked familiar, and she's from another Disney Channel original movie, but she's also in Riverdale, which is why she looks familiar.
Oh.
And then,
I mean, still being a high school student, that's commendable.
My God.
Yeah. Wow.
And one of the film geek guys, he looked familiar, and that's because I think he was in Pitch Perfect.
Oh. Which one?
He just was one of the random guys who auditions. Remember that scene where they audition and they sing?
But which of the film guys was it?
Oh, the guy who ends up dancing with Amy at the end.
Okay, yeah.
He also did Grease Live. Which, Claire, you probably saw, right?
I loved Grease Live, I think. I definitely saw it.
Yeah.
I love all the live shows. I love that they do them. He was who?
Putsy?
Who's Putsy? I don't know their names, but that sounds like it definitely could be one of them. Okay, so, yeah, there aren't, like, a ton of facts about this. Yeah, just that those two were dating for a long time before the movie started.
Yeah, they did. Oh. Started dating like 2009, I think.
Yeah, and they did another movie together before it.
They were
dating
while they were shooting this movie.
Yes.
And then he had like cameo on Modern Family.
Yeah.
Oh.
She really helped his career.
Completely. He'd be nothing without her.
Yeah.
But you could kind of tell that there was something there when they were dancing at the end because their faces were very close together.
Oh, I was like, I'm ready for more here. Yeah.
Ooh, wait, do they? Yeah, because they don't kiss. We don't see the kiss.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We see one of them.
Wait, we do?
Yeah. Yeah. In the dance, they kiss. I think at this point Disney Channel had deemed it okay for the characters to kiss.
I remember it was a controversy back in the day.
Thank God.
But now they're like, kissing is fine. It's just anything else. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shall we?
Let's
press play to this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, we open up. Dylan is daydreaming of winning the Blossom Queen, what seems like a beauty pageant, but I suppose it's part of the spring fling dance competition.
Yeah, everyone's wearing black and she's wearing red, which I was like, okay, that's a choice.
Yeah. Mm.
The director intended something to have to make this
Scarlet
important.
Scarlet letter. It's a
bold,
direct.
Bold.
Yeah.
That's bold is the theme to the Blossom Dance is the Scarlet letter.
You only get that kind of symbolism from a book. If we read the book, we'll know. That's
right.
That's where that came
and
from.
And I, dressed as Hester Prynne.
She was
like a letter A. Yeah.
So she snaps back into reality, and we learn that she wants to gain ultimate popularity. She's already popular, but she wants to be like more popular. Mm-hmm. And then a girl named Nicole Patterson is her major competition. And then we have Dylan speak directly to the camera, and this was so Modern Family to me, and it felt like they had to do that because it was Sarah
That's
Hyland.
So weird to me, though. That is so odd.
Maybe not. No. I could be wrong.
It's definitely
it could be a coincidence.
Because Modern Family is an ABC. It's under Disney, so they're like, probably were like, well, we can make this connection because it's
also
all
like, let's not like, why are we acting brand new? This shit happens all the time in DCOMs. Yeah. Like first person narration, like. This ain't nothing new. When it happened, I was like, not this shit again.
Also, I think like at that point in time, that was a very, like a huge style
like the
that
Office.
Was happening.
Yeah.
It was all documentary.
Parks and Rec.
And so.
Oh, she had this like, she has this obsession with the French language, like très tragique.
Yes.
Which I was like, what an
I was
odd...
obsessed with that.
I love
no!
that.
I'm
obsessed. I'm obsessed with how she goes, you are the W-O-R-S-T worst, or she'll spell the word and then say it.
She had two things going on.
I'm going to do that in real life.
Yeah. No, her use of French was so chaotic, and I was like it would come in and she'd say words and sentences like out of nowhere and seemingly where they didn't fit for it to go French. And
absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But that just shows that she's rich, you know, because she can speak French.
Right, because she's. That's how we know. That's how we know.
French is the rich language.
Yeah. The richest of languages. French.
It just reminds me of that girl from Home Alone, where she told Kevin.
The French would call you l'incompetent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I know that is because that girl is my biggest doppelganger.
Oh.
Yeah. So just a little fun fact.
You're better.
Do you
never use French?
Do you do like
me.
Cosplay as her?
Yeah, I do cosplay.
And so you say that line from Home Alone?
Yeah, I say that one line.
Liddy or Libby? Maybe. I think that's one of his sisters. So Josh, who causes the tuna noodle casserole to spill all over Dylan in the cafeteria. And this is where I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is going to be one of those sloppy, goopy, spilly DCOMs. Because you know there's a specific kind.
I love that you've categorized DCOMs by the kind of food that
is being
spilled.
I realized this last night. There are some that once, if they slip or slop or goop, it's going to be all over the
DCOM. Once you goop, yeah.
Exactly. And this one didn't disappoint. It kept gooping.
Isn't that Gwyneth Paltrow's thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goop.
Oh, okay. That's
once you
goop.
Once you goop, you
once
can't
Once you goop,
back.
You can't scoop. Oh, yeah. Or that. Yeah. So, and then we rewind and we see this from his point of view. And in his point of view, she was spraying herself with perfume. She spritzed him, and we find out he's a film geek, and we go to the film club, and they're all arguing about movies.
I would have liked to see the perspective of the lunch lady.
Oh, yeah.
If we could rewind and then see the whole thing from the perspective of, because she was an intriguing character.
And I recognized her. She's been in things outside of Disney, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
She looks familiar.
A legend. We love a working actor.
I love a working actor. It's a blue-collar industry.
The DCOMs, we love to see it in the DCOMs. A lot of the times, familiar faces will pop up and be like, booked and blessed.
This guy sucks because he was really rude to the lunch lady, and I'm sure she doesn't get paid enough, you know? And he was just being an asshole kid. I already hated him from the beginning, so.
You didn't like the character?
No. And the actor.
So we find out that there's a what's called the Puget Sound Film Festival, and it's only 6 weeks away. And the prize
like
is
throw up
film camp in Los Angeles.
Hollywood
film camp in Los Angeles, California. And this is it. And so so one of the girls in the film group clearly is in love with Josh.
Why?
Don't really know why we set this up, but there was a little bit going where he didn't notice that she really liked him.
Girl with the bob?
No.
Did she have a bob?
I think she was the only girl in the film group.
in the film group.
Oh yes. Okay, yes, yeah. That girl. Yeah.
I like the Bob.
Bob girl was funny.
Oh yeah, the girl who she got a Bob because Dylan told her to, I think. Yeah. But then the Bob was really working for her.
Yeah, I think so she stood out to me.
Yeah.
She got a boyfriend because she got a Bob haircut.
So Dylan may be like onto something.
Yeah.
Dylan is correct. Yeah. And that scarf did,
It did wash her out.
It did wash her out. It did wash her
have
out.
We have to know our undertone colors.
We do.
Can't be matching those.
We have to know what season we are.
Yeah. So Josh goes to his teacher or advisor about this film competition, and he talks about these ideas he has. They're all sci-fi ideas, but the teacher's not impressed. Like these are
what accent was that?
I have a take on this teacher. That accent was a choice.
You don't think that actor was like from Scotland?
No, I think he said, I'm gonna have a little fun with
Maggie. Huge and true.
I think and I was like, I'm not gonna look it up, but it just feels like he's like, no, I'm gonna come in with something entirely, because it didn't make I feel like normally they would address it or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, it wasn't shot in Ireland or at all. Like, I was like, who is this actor really doing the most?
Yeah.
Okay. He's Canadian?
He was definitely doing a Scottish accent, and it did feel pronounced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume because he's Canadian that he's not Scottish.
That's a choice, though, to really do that.
He could be Canadian but have a Scottish accent.
He could be, yeah. But when I first saw him from the side, I thought he looked like John Oliver. So I was like, this man is trying to do John Oliver.
Oh.
Wait, was John Oliver around in 2011? I guess so.
Yeah, because Community was like...
He was on Community?
John Oliver was? Yeah. He played the... I don't remember.
Later on, I think, right?
No, he was on the first episode because he was the one who... What's-his-face is like, why are you here? And he's like, well, I got a degree in Columbia. Now I got to get one in America. That's the big joke.
That's an awesome joke.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of this meeting, the teacher begins to play table tennis by himself.
That was so unhinged.
Again, probably a choice.
I bet you it was in the book, though. It was in the book. It must have been in the book. Otherwise, girl,
either
what
it was
we doing
in the
today?
Book or he requested that specifically.
You know, I have to say, you got to admire a person who just makes choices. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
That's how I felt. I was like, eat every second of that you have right here. You just gotta make the most, create an entire world. Like, he was just hitting everything that like acting school first year teaches you. You know?
He thought Eat, Pray, Love was an acting book and only read the first part of it.
I'm about to get my fill today.
He's inspirational. I would like to be.
Also, let's be real. Bangable. I would bang him hard. He seems my type.
1000%.
Like, I would date this man with the Scottish accent or with a put upon Scott. You know what? Come here.
He was the cutest in the movie.
Hands down, the hottest guy in the movie was that teacher. He gave me Mr. Sheffield vibes, which I really like.
Oh.
As you know, as any listener of the podcast knows, that's my number one.
We go to the mall where I guess Dylan's dad owns the mall.
Yeah, so sad nowadays. He's probably suffering, you know?
Yeah. And they're deciding what kind of
thoughts
shop
and prayers
to open.
To that man.
thoughts and prayers to the mall. So she wants dad... Oh, she wants to use her dad's marketing team to help her campaign for Blossom Queen. And he says, no. And that's all we get in this little scene. And then we also find out that Josh works at the mall as well. And he sees Amy from across the way. And Amy is the girl that he likes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we already know that Amy and Dylan used to be best friends when they were kids.
Mm. And so Dylan's purse falls into the fountain because
her Serge Sanchez. Come on.
Oh my God, the Serge Sanchez.
And she keeps saying, someone turn the fountain off, turn it off, turn it off, as if that will make her bag not in the fountain.
I think that'll make the water in the fountain not move as much. Her bag won't move away as fast.
Oh, okay. Because
if it's still water.
True.
Okay. So she was considering the physics of it, which is very smart. And so Josh comes to the rescue for some reason and jumps in and gets her bag. And then we find out that he wants her to be the subject of his documentary that he's going to make. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't remember what she says. Does she agree? Does she not agree?
Because she agrees.
No, she's into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then she turns to the the rival and is like, the competition just got serious. And the rival, I unfortunately really loved her in this moment. She was like, it's always been serious. And I was like, oh my God, she's like lifting weights for this. Like she said it with, such force. I love
it. With all her being. She really was committed to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so at home, we see via the internet that Amy has posted a picture of she and Dylan back when they were besties. What?
Okay. Was this to like a not post secrets, but like when I was in college at this time when there was like a communal sharing
live journal?
It wasn't live journal because it was like specific.
No, I know exactly what you mean because same. What was it?
I forget what it was. There was maybe a couple of
Tumblr.
Tumblr.
No, it was straight up like.
It was like message boards and like just for a college or like specific to a group of. That's what it felt like. So, like it was something because it said like online yearbook for their school, I think.
I don't know.
It was
my college didn't have that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I do remember like specific weird little message boards at the dawn of the internet and different places you could go that felt like much smaller.
Do you know that Tumblr was pretty big in 2011?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know.
So we find out that, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I have a feeling that Amy has a crush on Dylan.
Interesting. So we find out that Dylan's mom passed away later the same year that the picture was taken and that now the two are no longer friends, but we don't know why. And so Josh at his house tells his mom about his new documentary subject.
And his mom is making sushi while dressed in a kimono robe.
Yeah,
it's a little questionable, just all around.
Yeah, I was just nervous that this was going to continue on as she kept trying new cuisines, but luckily this was the only time she dressed for how she was
cooking. I think
cooking.
It was a very show-don't-tell of once we learned that she just recently went through a divorce of her, like, trying on different identities.
Yeah.
It was like, she's going all in on different.
Okay, Maggie, that's... Okay, therapist. Okay, Dr. Widows.
Thank you, PhD. Yep.
Yeah, wow. I'm sold because before I was like, that lady's racist, cancel her ass. But now I have a little more sympathy. Okay, I get it now.
I don't know if we can really, you know, just because she's going through something doesn't mean that she can be racist.
I mean, truly, no, but it's just
misleading. No, not at all. It also felt connected to book, though. Like, it was like, this is something that they wrote.
No, I'm still waiting for her YouTube apology.
Yeah, today. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, man, the way she was making that sushi.
Wrong.
It was like bits and pieces were sticking everywhere. It was, so I guess also she's not very good at these new things that she's trying is the other part of it. So, yeah.
She said she was taking a class. Better get a refund.
Also, this was reminding me of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure because he finds a gal who he just starts filming immediately and finds her kind of fascinating, and they had a very similar
This movie just all around feels like territory we've been in before.
Yeah. Yes. But this reminded me of a TikTok trend where there's this filter that makes it look like a home video, and people are like, record yourself as if you, like, your boyfriend is looking at home videos of you after you die kind of thing.
Oh my gosh.
You know that thing in movies where it's like, you know, like the girlfriend is just like having a good time.
Oh, like what they would watch because they're set. They miss the
person.
Oh, I get see. It. Okay. Yeah. Like a highlight reel kind of.
Yeah. All she would do, it was doing was like, I'm spinning in a chair. Isn't this a cute and adorable thing?
Yes.
Stop. Uh-huh. It's just like, okay. But that was a very funny TikTok trend because it was just people recording themselves as if they were like, stop filming me. Stop it.
I like that a lot.
See that one.
Yeah.
So Dylan gives Josh rules about filming her. She says, you know, I need a beauty budget. You can only film me from this side, yada, yada. And he's, of course, like, this is a documentary. I will not be doing that. So Josh goes to sit with her, and it's a big deal to go sit at the ramp.
The ramp, yeah.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but was this a thing in your high school's different lunch tables? Because it's a thing in every movie.
I know.
But I don't think it's real.
I don't think I had, no.
I think maybe friend groups had chosen tables after a while, you know, like, oh, this is where we always sit. But like,
yeah,
I don't think, but it was not like, this is the cool table.
Right. Just, right. It's not like you're aspiring to go sit at the one table with a certain group. It's not like that.
I also feel like in movies and TV, like everyone is always in the lunchroom at the same time. Where it's like, that wasn't my experience. It would be like, you'd walk in by yourself or with like one other person, and like you may or may not see the other people at your lunch block. Like,
right.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like the whole school is present and watching.
Yeah.
Well, they all care a lot. And it's so true. He interviews her about being popular, and she gives her whole philosophy about, you know, some people are just popular and some people aren't, and you have a certain level of blah, 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 yada, yada. They go shopping, and then they are invited to a beach party, which is like a beach volleyball party situation.
Right.
And but he's never been to the beach.
He's never been to the beach before. His friends don't like the beach. So, boy, are they fish out of water, ironically.
One of them is like, they're eating my snacks. That's his like big trauma with going to the beach, which is so silly.
Wait, but honestly, they're relatable. Eating his snacks?
Well, he was like protective of the snacks, remember?
Which
he was eating like a sandwich.
I understand, like, I've had like seagulls do that, but like, I was like, these people aren't like coming and wrestling your hero out of your hands.
If it's happened before, it's that sounds like a traumatizing thing.
True.
So, like,
yeah, that's true.
So maybe it's a deep-seated fear from the past.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some kind of, maybe like trauma maybe response. Also in a national
on your way to Dr. Widow's. On
yeah,
your
also,
way.
Yeah, also maybe could be a manifestation of a different anxiety that he's just trying to use as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
So Josh sees Amy in the distance picking up trash on the beach. And
of course,
naturally.
So Josh asks what happened between Amy and Dylan, but he doesn't get an answer. And so Dylan,
we're at the beginning of the movie.
What?
We go back
to the beginning. Yeah.
Oh, wait,
we don't get an answer at the beginning of the movie. You have to learn later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't tell you that now. Big reveal. Mm-hmm. So Dylan's boyfriend is there playing volleyball, but he clearly does not like Dylan. And after the volleyball game, she suggests sushi, but they all go for pizza instead.
Can I just say the line that he says? I wrote it down because it was so good.
Okay. Of course.
Raw fish, Ralph. I'm outie with my boys. and that to me was, I was like, this is a perfect line.
You know what that is? That's tattooable.
That's tattooable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm outie with my boys feels like
I'm outie with my boys.
It's all just like, yeah, you're so off the nose in all the right ways. Yeah, I loved it.
This was so, also where I realized that his hair is horrible.
Oh my God.
Oh, the hair. Oh, very 2011. Very,
very Bieber.
Oof. But it's Bieber just, with
it wasn't
like,
even Bieber. It was like, it was
like anime Bieber. It was like weird. Yeah. Like a crescent moon on the face.
It reminded me of in Inside Out, Riley's fake boyfriend hair. You know,
yes, oh, yes, yes, yes.
I would die for you.
Yeah.
I would die for you.
Yeah, it's very emo, Hot Topic, wannabe skater kid vibes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because they kept saying, like, oh, he's such a geek, but, like, they all looked the same to me.
1,000%.
So yeah. I guess maybe they were trying to make that choice by giving him, like, a beanie.
But isn't that a lesson, though? Like, we all look the same, but we're putting titles on each
labels.
Other.
Okay.
Labels.
Okay. That's probably in the book. That's probably in the book.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dylan's car gets towed because she's had a bunch of tickets that she never paid for. And she gets into Josh's car and complains that it's prehistoric. And because of that, well, because it's an older car, it doesn't start. Mm-hmm. And they get into a fight because she is a diva. I think he calls her a diva.
Oh, yeah. She sprains her ankle and he has to carry her, but then she's complaining a lot. And then he calls her a diva, which is the most offensive thing you can say to her, apparently. Because she really is like, what did you just call me? A diva. And then he says it 5 million more times.
Meanwhile, diva. We're in the era of, like, the diva tour.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it was, that's actually, we're learning that's a great thing to be.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to be a diva. This pre Beyonce's diva track?
Yeah. Oh, this was definitely pre.
Do you know what I mean? Because if she heard diva is a female version of a hustler, people would be like, never mind. I am a diva.
I am. You're right. Thank you for seeing me for who I am.
Diva visibility. <this thing. laughs>
So they go their separate ways. But oh no, what will his movie be about if she's no longer a part of his world?
Yep.
And then we go to a Blossom Queen rally and Dylan tries to campaign for herself. Nothing much happens. I think, okay, then we go to history class and everybody's super bored in history class.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Dylan do next? She tries to join film club and we discover, wow, she's actually really smart and knows what she's talking about.
Well, we kind of saw this along the way because she knew sales really she could do math really quickly.
Yes.
And then also she knew the history lesson very well already.
Right. She knows French.
Like, I thought the French might be like probably again from the book, like they're trying to indicate like she.
Like a little teaser.
Good. Like, yeah, like she has smarts. She's learned this other language, you know.
Yes. So now Dylan and Josh get along. Josh drives her home and she invites him in and they have an ice cream party.
They have everything but the kitchen sink sundae, which Dylan, quote unquote, invented. But
no.
Girl.
I've seen that at Disneyland.
I've been doing that since the dawn of time.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can everything but the kitchen sink anything. Too.
Anything.
Like, this isn't just sundaes. You can do
mashed potatoes.
Maybe she thinks she invented the phrase anything but the kitchen everything.
Yeah, someone told her that she did. And she didn't. She
let me
know.
Let me be the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have a moment when she's kind of talking about her past and he decides to let her make him over, give him a makeover.
Yes.
And then we have a clothing montage. But are they still at her house and are these her dad's clothes? What's going on here?
I don't know.
Because all of a sudden, I think we were still in her house.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of outfits.
Yeah. That house was also incredible.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
maybe she might cool. She might live like in a Barbara Streisand sort of situation where
with the mall,
the mall, with the mall. So there's like a Hot Topic underneath.
Oh my God,
those
weren't
Hot Topic
girls.
Could you imagine?
That was.
Could you?
That was a Hollister. Those were Hollister American Eagle clothes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we see him jump rope, and then he gets a haircut, and he's got a new hairstyle.
Much better.
And so he invites her over for dinner at his house, and Mom is surprised by Josh bringing home a girl. But they insist that they are not dating because she has a boyfriend, and it's just not like that. They're just friends. And then they go to school with Josh's new look, and people notice Josh at school.
Like,
now,
immediately, all these thirsty ass girls being like, "Hey, hi.
Wow, you got a haircut?"
Yeah, you don't look that much different though. To me,
I had to beg for people to notice a new haircut. What is this? This doesn't happen.
Dylan tells Josh that it's... Oh, sorry. Okay. So Josh's friends are concerned that he's not focused on his documentary because of this new friendship situation, whatever makeover thing that's going on. And Dylan tells Josh that it's time to go ask Amy out. And so Dylan's boyfriend is mad that he's not getting attention. So Asher. And then Dylan realizes that she likes Josh. I mean, this isn't said, but we get that look where she's
she's
admiring him from afar.
Yeah, she's looking at him flirting with Amy, and she's like, it's that jealous look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, oh, wow. So Josh meets Dylan's dad, and he thinks that Josh is dating Dylan and asks Josh over to dinner. And then at Dylan's house, they deny that they're into each other and that they're dating.
But they all burp.
They all burp.
I hated that bit.
They have a burp off. This is related to the slippy sloppy. The slip slop burp
goop,
off.
The goop. The goopy.
The goop.
The goopiness of it all.
The goop.
I will say
farts.
The dad looks very different from his business suit at the mall to his normal clothes at home. Like, the suit aged him like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked a little bangable. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more.
He should go shopping in his house basement.
Yeah, he doesn't need to wear suits at the mall because it made him look 70, and then at home he looked like a nice 50.
I agree.
Yeah, I will say this burping scene was a little ugh, gross, because they didn't burp loud enough, in my opinion. It all felt
really burp.
I know, it was like too much of a grounded performance where I was like, this is the same movie where a teacher in a, I am thinking now, put upon Scottish accent, plays ping pong with himself. You gotta give us some fake burps in this movie.
Give us like an elf burp.
Yes. Thank you.
And it felt like it was trying, like the goopy grossness feels like it's trying to make the movie also appeal to like younger kids.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, this is kind of, like, there would have been other ways to show what they're trying to show, but they do it in,
Bond.
Like, yeah.
Burps are relatable.
I mean, who hasn't bonded over burping with a bunch of strangers?
True.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So Josh knows. He knows the movie he wants to make now. And he goes to Amy's, and immediately at the door, she has like an earbud and is like, here, listen to my new song.
And it's bad? Like,
it's so bad.
He doesn't like, he hates it. Yeah. And this
like,
whole,
we didn't like it
it's
either,
not
right?
for everyone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very cool about it. She's like, okay, I get it.
Wow. And so, like, they don't get along on their date because she's a vegetarian for one. So how could
obviously,
they ever get along?
She's a cool girl. She's a cool chick. Of course she's a vegetarian.
I got the sense that after that, like during this date, I was watching and I was like, she's giving me the vibes of like the liberal anti-vaxxers, you know, of like just the way she was speaking to him and things where I was like, oh, I'm worried about her future.
Where she was like,
oh my God, Maggie, that is like insanely accurate. It's a little scary.
It's too sunny outside. Let's not do a movie. Let's go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit deeper. I'm not like other girls.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I still won't get the vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm like other girls who won't get the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I can't.
Dylan's having a party, and he invites Amy to go with him to Dylan's party. And so at the party, Asher, Dylan's boyfriend, is DJing, which made me laugh.
I don't think he's DJing. I think he's just listening.
Oh. On headphones. He just, as the like, DJ's has a playlist. DJing,
he's no, the DJ's DJing, and he's literally just listening on headphones.
Oh,
wow! Yeah.
But whatever was happening made me laugh. And Amy tells Josh to check on Dylan. So she, because she kind of sees that there's like something going on there. So she's like, why don't you go check on Dylan and see how she's doing? And then she says, I'm gonna see if the DJ will let me spin a few.
Because, of course, that's what happens when...
She's a music person, so duh.
Anytime there are turntables.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes confidence, honestly, is what it does. Could you imagine being at a party and then going up to the DJ and being like, do you mind if I spin a few?
Can you imagine to do that after you've basically already said to your date's face, this isn't going well?
Yeah.
Like just the absolute... The audacity, you know, is incredible.
She's all about her career. She sees the opportunity. She's absolutely. Like, this date's not going well, but I could spin a few.
You know
I
what? Could get so in she's, there. She's in the music. She knows the music business, and she heard Beyonce's Diva before anyone else did and was like, yeah. I know. I'm in tune. I get it.
Yeah.
This was a cool house, though. You literally walk in, and there's a pool in the front.
That was
truly,
wild.
Truly. It reminded me of the Wendy Wu Warrior Princess house.
Oh, that house was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same layout.
Yeah.
So we find out that Dylan ditched Amy in the sixth grade because she didn't want to live in her shadow.
Because she's so cool.
Coolness competition happening. Because we've also, like, Amy is cool as well, but in a different way is what Dylan says.
She's cool, but she doesn't stop being my friend. Because they didn't want to live in my cool shadow. Wow.
So Asher walks in on Dylan and Josh talking and then storms out because he thinks something's going on between them.
They're holding hands.
And they were close as hell, and they were holding hands.
And like Amy...
This. Yeah.
Like they were about to kiss.
Ooh. So Amy turns down an invite to the spring fling with Josh because it's clear that he likes Dylan and that's what she's
a martyr
to him.
Ooh. A martyr.
She's like, I see things clearly, and... I know it's best for you.
Yeah.
So, oh no, Josh has missed the deadline for the competition, film competition. But if he edits something by tomorrow morning, our good friend ping pong teacher can get him in there.
Yeah.
And we can make sure it's submitted on time. So now Dylan's wearing glasses. Who even is she anymore?
After lying and saying she doesn't even need contacts.
Wow. So Asher breaks up with Dylan.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then also the film club has kicked Josh out. He's no longer president. And then Josh has a heart-to-heart with his mom, and he says, you know, is it okay if my artistic vision has changed? And mom says, it's okay if your feelings have changed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mom's now.
Mm-hmm. So
Maggie Dylan, rolled her eyes.
This poor woman.
Dylan's friends shall go shopping for the spring formal without Dylan, and
huge.
Dylan catches them.
Huge.
She says, they say, oh my God, you're here. And she says, this is my favorite boutique. I'm always here. That was another really good line.
She has always been in that boutique.
Yeah.
The entire movie, she's been in that boutique.
But then they really cut deep. They're like, well, we don't want to go to the formal with you anymore because we have dates now and you don't.
Yeah, that was incredibly rude.
Wow. Not a single person shaming. So rude. So Dylan.
Oscar, he shrugged.
I mean, sometimes I need to be shamed.
Hey. So Dylan tells. Oh, okay. So there's this ongoing thing a little bit with Dylan's dad's girlfriend that she didn't want to include his girlfriend. But
it's more
she
in
says,
the book.
It has to be. Absolutely. There's a backstory.
There's a whole, like, you're replacing mom.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. She tries to bond. It doesn't go well. So Dylan tells dad that his girlfriend can join them. And wow, it's like everybody's softening, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. They're all kind of, they're being easier on themselves and each other. So at the film festival, film club shows up.
Well, first we watch a beautiful video of a hamster. and then the teacher is like, I didn't know they could be so aggressive or something like that. I wish I could see the whole film.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's in the book.
The whole
film. You're just going to have to take it to the text. Yeah.
So we see Josh's movie, and at first it really looks like Dylan's going to be played as a joke because all the earlier footage is of her talking about being popular, and mm-hmm. it's very shallow, and she is embarrassed.
I got to say, Sarah's acting in this was really great because I really felt bad for her. I was that is rude. He was making fun of her. I felt bad. You know, I shed a tear too.
Oh, yeah. And she gets angry. She storms out. But then we see that the second half of the movie is a lot nicer. And we see that she has depth.
She's just spinning in a chair for 20 minutes saying, stop it. Stop it.
I'm not like other girls. I spin in chairs.
Yeah. I got an A. Look at the A. I'm so smart. I spin in chairs.
This footage is so like, what are we doing?
There was so much else. What happened to the burp? What happened to the Sunday montage?
Yep.
Where were all the good? It was just her spinning in a chair and then him just on him for 20 minutes talking. And I was like, I don't want to see you. Why are you inserting yourself into your movie?
Because he's a narcissist. Come on.
Oh, Dr. Widow's open for business.
he just is as a character and a person. I think that much is clear.
Yeah.
I say bring back the hamster movie back.
Yeah.
So there are people crying in the audience over this movie. So Amy goes to Dylan and tells her that Josh's movie won the festival. Yeah. And Dylan is more popular than ever. Don't worry. She has a DVD for Dylan to watch because she got a copy, exclusive burned copy.
There's a whole point about the reason why she wants to be Blossom Queen is because her mom was Blossom Queen
right,
in 1985, which was so long ago.
Really,
really long ago. So Dylan wins Spring Fling Blossom Queen, and she gives a speech apologizing for her previous views on popularity.
And also shading her old friends, too.
Yeah.
And so she and Josh kiss. And then the film geeks get together. Those two finally get together. And that's the end.
Yeah.
And then Amy hooks up with that other film geek.
Yeah. And then they weirdly talk to camera and then shield their kiss.
Oh, God, yes. What the hell?
And then they reference a potential second movie.
Yeah.
Right?
And then she's like, sequels are worse than the original. And then literally winks at the camera as she walks away.
Yeah.
What would a sequel to this be about?
College.
Trying to get into college,
different movie.
I thought, I immediately saw, like, she breaks his heart, and it's a chip on his shoulder that he uses for the rest of his whole life.
Okay. Wow. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. The sequel for me is called Greek Charming, and it's about her joining a sorority.
Yes.
Good.
Much the same plot.
And then what's his face's mom is trying to make Greek food.
Yes, and she's using an offensive accent.
And then the ping pong teacher is like the dean.
He's back
students.
And he's the dean. Yeah. No explanation.
And he has a different accent. Yeah. He's German this time. And
love it. Greenlit. It's on. Yeah. It's happening. Wow. So that's it. That's Geek Charming. After watching this movie, what's the takeaway? What's the moral of this movie?
Even if you have a lot of footage you're working with, sometimes you get lazy and you just use one clip.
A good moral. My moral is like, listen, a Serge Sanchez bag, you can't get wet. Because it costs a lot of money and it's not water resistant. And so if I were Serge Sanchez, I would watch this movie and be like, let me work towards like a waterproof bag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. One that doesn't move as quickly in a fountain.
I think the moral is you can bond with people over burp contests.
Oh, yeah. That's a
That's
good one.
That's true.
That's actually very true. Yeah.
That really bonds people.
I guess my moral would be the it's a very fine line between if you're doing well or bad, like well mental health wise, emotionally, or not so well when the pizza guy knows you by your first name.
That's a really good moral.
It's like part of me was like, okay, yes, love this. Like, she's doing her. And then it was like, oh, no, this is a sad person. And, like, that's just so – it's so fine there, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that movie 2 Weeks Notice starring Sandra Bullock.
Love that movie.
Yeah, the takeout guy knew her because then at the end of the movie she orders for two. And she's like, for two?
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in Geek Charming?
Oh man. Why? I forget about this every time. I never think about this while I'm watching the movie.
I think I'd be the redhead in Film Club.
No. That's who I would play.
You guys are the same. You guys are the same character and you alternate.
I feel like there's room for more of that energy.
Absolutely.
Be like additional Film Club kids.
Yeah.
Or you guys play the same character, but it's like when baby twins play the same character.
Yes.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
We switch in and out.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Because no one could tell us apart.
Or the Bob. I feel like I could do the Bob.
Oh, Bob's great.
Yeah. Resonated with her a little bit.
Yeah. Bob Girl is great. Bob Girl was the one who ended up winning. She got a man.
She did.
You got approval.
And a great haircut.
So,
what more could you want?
The true hero.
And a cupcake. She got a cupcake too.
Listen, she had her cake and ate it too, honey. Yes. So,
may we all be Bob Girl.
Listen. You know what? That's good. We're all cast as Bob Girl in this movie.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. We are all Bob Girl.
Four Bob Girls. And it's all of us finding ourselves with our new Bob.
Absolutely. And that's the journey. Hashtag Bob Girl for life.
Sleek Charming is our movie.
Yes.
Chic Charming.
Ooh, Chic Charming. Spelled, cheek. Like C-H-E-E-K.
Spelled cheek. Yeah. Cheek Charming.
I like that. Okay, so Maggie, in our podcast, we have a section called Zaddy Watch, where we rank every dad in DCOM by two things that come into effect here. Whether or not they're a good parent and how hot they are.
Okay.
So the way that it ranks, and we're obviously ranking the girl's dad.
Yes.
And if they're at the highest honor, they are platinum Zaddy, then gold, silver, bronze. Then we have daddy, dad, and father is the worst ranking you can give someone.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Where does the dad in Geek Charming rank in your Zaddy scale?
And Zaddy is hotness. And so I would give him a silver. He's a silver Zaddy.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a silver Zaddy. Like, could get it, but it's the personality that's going to really rope you in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I would kind of give him daddy. Because I actually, on the daddy scale. Because I feel like he really loves his daughter and he's been really patient with her about like introducing this new, like he's really listening to her emotionally, you know? And so I'm going to give him a daddy and a silver Zaddy.
Okay. So I guess it averages out to bronze Zaddy status overall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Cute. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to echo what Maggie's throwing out there. I think overall he gets a silver zaddy from me because totally attractive man. And listen, he got money. And at this point in my life, it's like, if you got money, you are already in a zaddy ranking. Mm-hmm. You know, is he an absent father? Yeah, because he's busy. He's trying to get that money. He's, having a mall in your basement is expensive. So, and also running a mall as well. So, you know, with all things considered, definitely silver zaddy for me.
Yeah. I also think he's a silver zaddy because the money thing and also but I have to take some points off because nowadays malls are dying. So I'm worried about where
Rachel run in when the money is dry.
Yeah. And also, like, as I said, he is not as attractive wearing a suit. It ages him.
True.
So I would be like, sir, I'm buying you all these cable knit sweaters for Christmas and you're just gonna wear those.
Yeah.
I'm taking him shopping in his mall basement. So he remains a silver zaddy. And I do think he's a good dad, even though he can be absent. So I took some points off of that. Yeah. But I think he is good because he cares about his daughter because he says that he likes Josh more than he likes Asher because he doesn't like Asher.
True.
You know?
Very true.
He has the right attention. Instincts.
Yeah, he's paying attention. He's paying attention.
He pays attention, you know? Yeah. And also,
he's intuitive.
So silver zaddy. Mm.
Love it.
Yeah. I couldn't remember what he looked like, but I just looked him up and he is from Scotland.
What the hell?
This is
no.
sick.
No, what kind of twist is this?
What if they had like a body switch?
No.
But a voice switch and the teacher and him they switched voices.
Oh yeah, they or yes, yes. Okay.
No.
So
this was I feel a nauseous. Sound mixing. I feel this- nauseous.
So, I think he's a good dad and also I like that he had good instincts. He cared about what was going on with his daughter. He also wanted her to learn to, not necessarily just use the resources that he had, but use some ingenuity of her own. He has a mall in his basement. I'm going to give him a silver zaddy as well.
All around. Silver's okay,
across
cute. Okay.
The board.
He was all a solid silver zaddy. Like,
absolutely.
I really feel like he can kind of define silver daddy to me.
That's
true. Even though this is my first time experiencing this scale.
You're totally right. He is the benchmark.
Nailed it.
Okay, now it's time to rank Geek Charming. Out of 5 Everything But the Kitchen Sink Sundays, how many Everything But the Kitchen Sink Sundays do you give Geek Charming?
Okay, I'll go first. I'm giving this a 1.5 Everything But the Kitchen Sink Sundays. I didn't like this movie. I think it's because I know the personal backstory of the guy and I hate him. But Sarah Hyland I love so much. I do think it's not great. The writing was bad. Just the characters were not great. I didn't really care about any of them. But I'm giving it a 1.5 because Sarah Hyland's acting did make me cry a little. So I guess I felt something.
Okay.
And also I want one full Sunday for myself and then half for Sarah Hyland. So there we go.
And another Sunday without the kitchen sink. Without everything but the kitchen sink.
Not everything but the kitchen
exactly
sink.
Yeah,
I agree. This it's not like the story, I don't know. The gloopy glop is fine, but they just threw it in there and I don't know why it was happening. It felt I'm not a fan of the narration or the like cut to people being interviewed for no reason. Like we could see those things without them having to say it out loud. And it just wasn't, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And also, yeah, I'm going to give it a 2 Everything But the Kitchen Sinks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know any of that behind BTS drama that was going on. So like
BTS.
That. behind the scenes. Okay. Not the K-pop group. I mean, if only. But, you know, yeah, it sucks to hear all that stuff. Like, I sort of can't believe it. It's like, but, you know, men are trash. And, you know, I would give it a lower rating knowing all that drama. Except I think Sarah Hyland was very good in this movie. She did a serviceable job with such a nothing character. Mm-hmm. And she's very magnetic. She's very charismatic. Obviously, she's a star. And, like, we see that. It sort of feels like this is a very trash DCOM that, like, Sarah Hyland elevated. But everything else is so by the numbers DCOM. You know I hate this kind of DCOM. It's not my vibe. And this is just like any other boring DCOM, except with Sarah Hyland on it. So with that being said, this gets a 2. Everything Put the Kitchen Sink Sundays.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm the same. I didn't know about the drama until, as I do with every movie, I look up the leads and are they dating? And and that's when I found out that all that. So it was after, but I felt the same of like, there were some lines that I was just like, oh God, having to, even just imagining reading this in the audition is just like devastating. And
yeah, you lose a little bit of your soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she really made lemonade out of lemons. And I really.
That's a reference to the movie, right?
Yep. That's a.
She does drink lemon.
She's always drinking lemonade.
Beyonce.
It's oh my Beyonce. God. Yeah, it's in the book. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it like a 2, maybe a 2.25. Because I thought I really respected her work.
Yeah.
And the house is pretty cool.
The house was like architectural digest. It wasn't just like your run-of-the-mill Disney movie rich kid mansion. It was like this is an artistic house with yes, like
it was geometric. Yes. Yeah. It had cool shapes. Yeah. Absolutely.
They have what? Taste.
They have taste.
Oh, I was like,
what? They have what?
Geometry.
They have what? Geometry. Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Wow, we did it. We ranked Geek Charming, another check mark off our DCOM journey.
I finally watched it.
You finally watched it, Rachel. Maggie, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. You were a true delight and a joy. Where can people find you on social media?
Social media, Instagram, I'm MWIDS, MWIDS. And on Twitter, I'm that, but just with one extra D, because someone had already taken that other handle. So,
dang it.
That's about it.
Amazing. Thank you again, Maggie. You are truly
the
best.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Yes. And, you know, we got to go and continue on our journey or on our epic quest to watch every single DCOM. We're doing it, though. We're doing it.
It's getting rough. Yeah.
Getting rough. It's getting, yeah, this is a rough patch. But, you know, whatever. There's been some really great ones. So until next time, thank you for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye. Bye. Whoa, OMG. Oh my goodness, y'all. We watched Geek Charming. How fun was it to have Maggie Widows there? Dr.
F-U-N fun.
Maggie Widows there. but now we're moving on to... what I assume is the very last DCOM of 2011.
Indeed. Yeah. It's Good Luck Charlie. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Okay, I assume Good Luck Charlie is a TV show. It's one of those DCOMs based on a TV show?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got Bridget Mendler, who we know from Lemonade Mouth, in it.
Okay.
And then a mom who, the actress recently made headlines because she's an anti-vaxxer.
What?
No.
Oh, yeah. She's an anti-vaxxer.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
don't know anything about Good Luck Charlie. Is it just they have a younger sister named Charlie?
Yeah, and just a younger sister. And she does like blogs where she's like trying to like be like, give her life lessons.
Oh, okay.
Why is it called Good Luck Charlie?
Because it's like, here's a well, good luck.
Good luck. Here's some life lessons.
Interesting. Okay, I don't quite get it, but you know, maybe if you want to see Good Luck Charlie,
you know, like when someone says good luck, have a good life.
Also, like a the kid from Hatching Pete is also in Good Luck Charlie. And then the little boy from Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure is also in it. So it's a star-studded cast of kids of Disney Channel kids.
Exciting.
Very exciting. And if you want to watch Good Luck Charlie, It's Christmas, you can do that on Disney Plus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Twitter at ITDV Podcast or on Instagram at Inside the Disney Vault.
Yeah. And if you want to see our faces and join us for our live watch alongs, you can join us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/InsideTheDisneyVault.
We have a ball.
$1 or $5 a month. You get to be a part of our patron parties.
And they're fun. Absolutely. And you'll find out if I will ever get rid of my Cheetah Girls background. I probably won't. But you'll know first off the bat.
Yep. You'll get to see the background and the pizza. What does that mean? You got to find out.
The pizza's not showing this time. Out. But sometimes it does.
And also, if you are still listening and you're loving it and you have not yet, please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. It helps us because other people can find the show more easily. And it just adds to our community of pals that join in on the conversations.
Absolutely. You know, they say the more the merrier, right?
Yeah. If you're not sure what to say, just say what your favorite
favorite pizza. Zaddy, favorite pizza, favorite place to travel. Yeah, favorite comment.
Just say hi. Just say hi.
Just get a thought out. You know, let us know.
Right. Determinate four times. Determinate.
And then I'll know that you're a lemonade mouth head.
Yeah.
Lemonade mouth head.
Mouth head.
Until next week. Take care and see you next week. Bye.
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 This is Patrick.
And this is Mark, co-host of Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're your home for all things Nintendo.
On Tuesday, we're talking about the latest Nintendo news.
And on Thursday, we're doing deep dives into specific corners of the Nintendo universe.
Ranking the Koopa Kids.
Determining who the best Smash Fighter is.
That's Nintendo Cartridge Society on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.